Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and I appreciate you being here with me today. I have some wonderful and exciting news, and that is, as many of you know, I've been working on a patient's perspective interview marathon, and it has been accomplished. So on May 6th and 7th, I did 137 interviews over the course of 37 hours, 44 minutes, and 17 seconds straight. And it was amazing. I had a number of fantastic people on. They gave their experiences. They talked about healthcare heroes, and they gave some ideas about quality healthcare and how to improve it. So what I'm going to do for the next, however long it takes, I'm going to break these interviews down into single sections, and I will be sharing those with you every single Friday. So the plan is, on Fridays, you'll be getting a patient's perspective, and then on Tuesdays, you will be hearing a professional's perspective. So without further ado, here is my first interview with Celia Jones. It kicked off the Guinness, well, it's not a Guinness World Record yet, but hopefully as soon as I submit the information, it will be approved for that. But it is the attempted Guinness World Record setting longest interviewing marathon. Here's Celia. Welcome to the Guinness World Record Interview Marathon. We are starting. I am excited. My first guest is, tell me, what is your name, please?
Celia.
And where are you from, Celia?
I'm from Great Britain.
Wonderful. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your experiences in healthcare, please.
Okay. So I was a nurse before I retired. And I worked in Australia as well as the UK. And my experiences were pretty average, I suppose. I didn't see anything really, really bad until my partner was ill. And he got taken into the local hospital. And I witnessed the most appalling care that I've ever seen in my life. Enough to make your hair stand on end. That was in 2016. He did survive, but sadly, he died the year later through lack of diagnosis of a tumor the size of a tennis ball, which was in his esophagus, which was not seen on a CT scan. And the whole experience was really shocking. I made complaints. And when you go through the complaints process, they don't like it. You're actually gaslighted as well, because they like you to accept, or they don't like you to, you know, they want you to think that you've had really good, he's had really good healthcare, but he hadn't. And they had a hospital report, which was basically a cover-up of their failings. And they use it to, this is apparently standard practice, they use it to sort of discredit the complainant. Once you've done that, your only recourse, where I am, is to go to an ombudsman.
Right.
So I went to the ombudsman, and he upheld all my complaints and found that there were serious failings and breaches of human rights. But all that took probably the best part of 2.5 years. And lots of anguish, which is still kind of, it kind of stops you in the grieving process. And I know I've probably digressed, because I've talked about, you know, my experiences of healthcare. Thankfully, I've never seen anything like that in my experiences in 30 years of nursing before.
So let me just, it's interesting. what I hear you saying is that when, as a recipient of healthcare for your partner, you're seeing mm-hmm. things that you weren't seeing as a provider. Is that right?
Yeah. And I don't know whether that was because I was in a, you know, this was in a particularly bad hospital, because it has got a reputation locally that I didn't even know about. And the hospital I trained in, which is not far away, I know people will always have problems. You know, you cannot be perfect with everybody all of the time. But I would have said that the hospital I trained in was a center of excellence. And I can't fault the place even now. But this hospital was, you know, a nightmare. I had an instance is I had a Romanian nurse say to me that I think that you should get him transferred because hospitals are better in Romania, which I found very alarming.
Right. Let me ask you this. Have you met any healthcare heroes along the way? Someone who you would say is doing it right?
Well, somebody I really admire is somebody called Dr. David Knott,
okay.
who is, I don't know whether you've heard of him. I actually had the privilege of working with him many years ago when we were both young. And he is working now, actually. He trains people to and works for nothing in war zones. It's the David Knott Foundation. And he will talk people through trauma operations. He's actually fought, you know, he's operated on the front line in Serbia and Bosnia and Iraq and places like that. So that's my healthcare hero.
Excellent. Tell me, what does quality healthcare mean to you, Celia?
I think the essence of everything has to be good communication.
Okay.
It's the foundation of everything.
Talk to me about communication. What kind of communication and what does good communication look like in the healthcare setting?
Well, I think it means, you know, you don't get things wrong when you communicate test results. You communicate effectively with relatives. You communicate effectively and kindly with patients, and you communicate effectively with your colleagues.
Okay, that sounds, what you're talking about sounds like outgoing communication. Is there an incoming communication element as well that you can comment on? Because, you know, being able to share test results in a empathetic way, being able to communicate with your colleagues and with your patients, what about the receptive side of communication?
How do you mean the receptive side?
You know, either watching the reactions that your patients have, or listening to what they are saying.
That's so important as well, that patients get listened to. I always think that the patient is always right, and the patient has to be prioritized. And very often they're not.
Right. It's a very interesting thing that you say, with the patient always being right. Tell me more about that idea.
Well, obviously the patient can't always be right, but I think that they need to feel that they're heard.
Okay.
One of the findings with in my own case was that my partner's voice was taken by the staff. And he wasn't heard, so his opinion didn't count. And that's a basic human right.
Yeah. That has to be so frustrating when what you're saying, what you're trying to share is not being listened to, and you feel like your opinion doesn't count. It's being, you know, basically thrown out. That's very difficult, I would imagine. And I would also imagine, and were you able to do some advocacy for him? Were they willing to listen to you as, you know, as a partner, or was your voice ignored as well?
My voice was also ignored. And I would, because I voiced concerns, I was looked at as trouble. And I think this was essentially a very, very bad ward in a very, very bad hospital. So I was trouble. So they decided to get rid of me. They made up a false accusation against me that I had given Brian unprescribed furosemide, which is a diuretic, which was completely untrue. And they'd actually given it themselves. It was prescribed. But it gave them a reason to get rid of me and banish me from the ward, which was horrific for the patient and me.
Yeah. I mean, when you're going through times like this, it's then that you most need your family and your support system. And you're the primary support system.
And he died, sadly, 24 hours later on his own.
I can't comprehend that. It is such a sad thing. And I feel like if we're going to get to that point in our lives that we pass, no one should have to do that alone. And I'm sorry that experience happened to you.
Yeah. And in 2020, there was a case actually in the UK, in the High Court, and it deemed that nobody should have to die alone because, you know, we've had this COVID pandemic. And visitors were not allowed in hospitals. But it was a human right that people should not be left to die alone.
Yeah, so true. What do you wish medical providers understood about you, the people that serve you? What do you wish they understood about you?
You meaning medical providers generally or specifically now?
Medical providers in general, or is there ever been a time when you wish that, you know, someone just understood something about you or knew, you know, a particular instance, or knew a circumstance that they would have been able to serve you better if they had known?
To be honest with you, I think that the situation in England and the UK has gone so far downhill that we've gone past the point of getting back anything without a complete restructurization. I noticed on my phone the other day, news, they're begging retired doctors to come back to work, which is not great.
Right. So
people leave because they're demoralized and so everybody's short-staffed, so people are stressed, and nobody does a good job.
Yeah. Okay, last question for you. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
They need to... Well, I'm going to say it again, prioritize the patient and not themselves. And be honest. They must be honest.
So they need to make sure that this is, that healthcare is about patients. And I'll just say
there should
this.
Be a duty of candor, which is gone, is not enacted in our law yet.
Excellent. Listen, Celia, thank you for being my first guest. Thank you for helping me kick this off. And I appreciate your perspective on healthcare. So, what'd you think? I would love to have you connect with me on social media. You can follow me on Twitter at your keynoter and hit me up there and let me know your thoughts on what Celia had to say. What's your reaction to her story and her ideas? Thanks for being with me and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.